I have asked Sam to come forward and read the children's story from the next service because it goes very well with this sermon.
Jesus was a refugee. My name is Jesus, son of Joseph, son of David, son of Abraham. This is my family. This is Bethlehem, where I was born. Bethlehem was my home. Now it is not my home. We can visit, but it is not safe to stay for too long, not while the son of bad King Herod sits on the throne. When we visit Bethlehem, I play with girls. There are no boys my age in Bethlehem. The women in Bethlehem are sad. My aunties cry a lot when they see me. My name is Jesus. I am a refugee. My name is Joseph, son of Jacob, son of David, son of Abraham. This is my wife Mary and our son Jesus. I am a refugee. Let me tell you our story. When our son was small, wise men came. They said our son would be king. They gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and precious myrrh. One night, an angel spoke to me in a dream. Get up, grab your son, go to Egypt. King Herod is looking for your boy. He wants to kill him. We fled. We hid. We walked and we walked. To Egypt.
Welcome to border security, Mr. Joseph. So, you wish to enter Egypt? If we could just review your documents.
It says here
that you are Joseph, son of Jacob.
But it says here that you are Joseph, son of Heli.
What is your father's name?
Tell me,
who are you, Mr. Joseph? You say you're from Bethlehem, but it says here from Nazareth. Where did you really come from, Mr. Joseph? Did you say this woman is your wife and this boy is your son? But the dates on these two certificates are a little irregular. Is this really your family, Mr. Joseph? Ooh, gold, frankincense and precious myrrh. I'll look after these for you. Welcome to Egypt, Mr. Joseph. Then one night, the angel returned and spoke to me in a dream. Get up, grab your son, go back to Israel. King Herod is dead. We left Egypt. We walked and we walked to Bethlehem. But it still wasn't safe to stay in Bethlehem. So we walked and walked to Nazareth in Galilee. Nazareth is now our home. My name is Joseph. This is my wife Mary and our son Jesus. Do not forget, never forget, Jesus was a refugee.
Let us pray. God, be in my head and in my understanding. God, be in my mind, eyes and in my looking. God, be in my mouth and in my speaking. God, be in my heart and in my thinking. God, be at mine end and at my departing. Amen. On the last page of the storybook Sam read from, it says, Jesus was a refugee is based on that unsettling bit of the Christmas story in Matthew 2. This never makes it into the end of the year nativity play. Fair enough. Who wants to traumatise the kids with bad King Herod, the atrocities in Bethlehem, and a dull ending where the family drifts off to Nazareth? Compare that to the 5-star family-friendly version where the bad guy's the innkeeper. The crisis is a travel accommodation mix-up, and it all ends with a magnificent shepherd dancing, angel singing, expensive gift-giving new baby-born finale. Why tell the escape to Egypt story? Well, Andrew McDonough, the author, you may have noticed in the retelling of this story, added in a border security scene with some interesting questions over the discrepancies between the birth narratives of Matthew and Luke. There are, in fact, two quite different stories. What Matthew and Luke do agree on, though, is that Joseph was not Jesus's biological father. Mary was engaged to Joseph, but pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now here, for Matthew, that was his original home, where Luke has it in Nazareth, but that Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem for the time of the birth. And they also agree that Jesus grew up in Nazareth. Matthew's birth narrative is not sentimental. Well, neither is Luke's, though there is much more joy in it and less obvious threat, though it is there in the background. But in Matthew, from the first, Jesus is the hunted. Now, it's very current with us, the stories, hearing of people escaping the bushfires, having to leave everything behind as they flee, for they know they don't stand a chance against the advance of those ferocious firewalls. And so too is this escape for the Holy Family. It is a matter of life and death, and it was death for many of their family and neighbours left in Bethlehem, as we heard in the Gospel last week. They escaped to Egypt. Egypt. When the word Egypt is mentioned in the Bible, a ding-ding sort of goes off in your head. Well, it should. It's the archetypal story of God rescuing his enslaved people from the Egyptian Empire, the Exodus. There is a parallel between the birth of Moses and that of Jesus, as told by Matthew. Moses, as a child, was also in danger of being slaughtered, this by the decree of the Pharaoh, who wanted to cull the population of the Hebrews by killing all the baby boys. Moses was hid, and while then ironically brought up by the Pharaoh's daughter, later he did have to flee Egypt as a man to escape being killed. Jesus, on the other hand, had to flee to Egypt. Perhaps logistically, Egypt was the easiest to get to from Jerusalem, or definitely out of Herod's reach. Matthew quotes the prophet Hosea, saying this course of action fulfilled the word of the Lord, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Well, initially, Egypt was a safe haven for Israel during the years of famine, when the famous Joseph of the Technicolor Dreamcoat, the son of Jacob, had risen to power in Egypt and so secured his family's welfare. But 400 years after that, the tables had turned and the Hebrews were enslaved, and God had to get them out through Moses. God now gets Jesus back out of Egypt by speaking in yet another dream to his father Joseph. Jesus is called out to do an action of deliverance, but not just for the Hebrews, but for the whole world. It is left to our imaginations as to what the journeys and their stay in a foreign land would have been like for the Holy Family. We certainly have enough to feed our imaginations from the plight of many we see on the news and read about in the papers and online. But perhaps it is more brought home to us now that in the stories of those who flee from the threat of the bushfires, we really see and understand that threat if we do not so much the conditions of other threats in other parts of the world. There are some sweet stories of Jesus' time in Egypt that are told in apocryphal gospels, much in the way our nativity pageants are sweetly told. In Matthew's gospel, the lack of detail of what happened in Egypt can perhaps be drawn instead for some of Jesus' experience and teaching later in this gospel. I mentioned near the start in Matthew's gospel, Jesus from the first is hunted. Herod may not have got him as a child, but there are other leaders who have set their sights on him as a man, and in the end, it is the empire itself that takes him to the cross. Jesus leaves Nazareth when he sets out on his mission. Nazareth, it seemed, was not a positive place, for he made his home in Capernaum, though he also told would-be disciples that the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head, as recorded in chapter 8. And what we read of Jesus, he is mainly on the road going from village to village. And all the Gospels record when he revisited Nazareth that he was unwelcome. One of the most important questions asked in the Gospels was by a lawyer. He asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbour?" And Jesus' response is one of the most well-known parables that has become ingrained into the social imagination of our culture, the Good Samaritan, which is found in Luke 10. Jesus makes the point that to be a neighbour is to show compassion for those in need. In Matthew's Gospel, his last parable was a story that puts the premium not on any particular confession of faith, but rather on whether we serve the least of these, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and also, and in particular, welcoming the stranger. Jesus explicitly takes up solidarity with those who need the basics of food, clothing, and shelter in this parable, as if to say, if you're looking for me, you'll find me among the most vulnerable. Whether we call Jesus a refugee or not, this story of Matthew from the start highlights a family under stress and threat from their unusual circumstances and from the intolerance of the regime around them. Last week, in speaking about the massacre that happened at Bethlehem, Jesus and his parents may have escaped, but the trauma travelled with them. And I wonder if another reason they moved to Nazareth rather than return to Bethlehem was not only the threat of Herod's son who was ruler, but also the pain of the community they had left behind. For some, survival carries a burden. Jesus grows up into a teacher who is well acquainted with the Hebrew scriptures, which has an often repeated refrain to welcome the foreigner. More than that, to love the stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. John, could you put on the next slide for me? Before Christmas, a church in Claremont, California, flipped the lights on its outdoor manger scene to reveal Jesus, Mary, and Joseph as border detainees, each figure isolated in its own chain link cage with barbed wire top. And the nativity display raised both praise and ire for its depiction of Jesus' family fleeing to Egypt in the context of controversial US immigration policies. The church's minister, Reverend Karen Ristein, explained, "Our intent is to focus on the asylum seekers and the ways they are being greeted and treated, and to suggest there might be a more compassionate way to show God's love. I think as Christians we have a responsibility to proclaim a narrative that might be counter to what the world thinks. Claremont's nativity, planned since July, was one of the many protest nativities to attract attention in recent years. And other protest nativities have advocated for gun control, for marriage equality, and against war. And one of the first protest nativities was set in New York's Central Park in 1969 as a statement against the war in Vietnam. The Reverend posted pictures of this nativity to a personal Facebook page and was stunned by more than 15,000 shares and 4,000 comments in one day. Most were supportive, like, "Thank you for living the faith and reminding us of the true story and message of Christmas." A pastor from Australia wrote, "Well done, Claremont." But others were offended by the non-traditional scene. A minister from another church wrote, "I am appalled, to say the least, about your nativity scene in your church. It is despicable that you can bring politics into our church." I guess it spoiled his Christmas. But then, in longing for Christmases of love, joy and peace, of safety, of the comforts of enough to eat, clothing and shelter, of family and of community, well, how is God going to deliver that if God is not interested first in the woes of our world? And Jesus has told us God is, and he showed us how God is, because he is God with us, all of us, Indigenous, settlers, immigrants, refugees, whatever label we have, wherever we may be found, by whatever circumstance that brought us to where we are, God is with us all. Let us pray. O God, we ask your living protection of all refugees yearning for freedom and hope in a new land. And may we ever remember that the Holy Family too were refugees as they fled persecution. Bless, guide, and lead us in faith to open doors and to open our hearts through a shared ministry of hospitality. Give us strength, vision, and compassion as we work together to welcome those in need. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen.